Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join a member of our staff as they share another message from God's Word.
So we're in this series that Julie and I got to preach last week, and Terry's been preaching a few weeks before that. This series called Outbreak, a look at the book of Acts, about what happened after the resurrection of Jesus, after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. I cannot imagine what life would be like without the Holy Spirit released on earth. Can you? I mean, for crying out loud. And so when the Holy Spirit breaks loose and gets into people's hearts, things happen. And the book of Acts are these stories, these accounts of the early church and the things that happened. And man, a lot of stuff happened. Last week, Julie and I got to talk about the naming of the apostles, or the deacons rather, and Stephen, the first martyr of the faith. And today Kelly is going to come and talk about the next chapter, the next story, the next account. And there are opportunities for you to follow along. An insert in your bulletin. There is a YouVersion live event. If you get to use that, bless your heart, because my phone hates that thing. But if you get to use it, check in for me. There's opportunities on Twitter and other social media that we would invite you to just check in and say, hey, Kelly was awesome today bringing the Word of God. So, Kelly, is this your first time preaching to all of us?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. So now you get to see what our kids are blessed with every week. And I'm excited to hear what Kelly has to say. Let me pray for you, Kelly. God, thank you for my friend. Thank you for your kindness to her. Thank you for the words that you have brought and will bring to our hearts today. And I pray that you would bless her. Give us ears to hear your word today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So today we're continuing our journey, as Steve said, through the book of Acts. We heard last week about the church really starting to explode. So it was becoming an outbreak, and how the religious officials really didn't like that. They took extreme measures to show that they were still in power, that they still had the control, and they stoned Stephen. He was a major contributor to that outbreak. And after he was stoned, the church scattered and continued to be persecuted. But it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, that on that day, which is the day Stephen was stoned, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, do you remember back probably several weeks ago in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth." So basically, God sent the Holy Spirit on them. The church grew like crazy. Those in the religious establishment persecuted them and were the ones who started the outbreak of witnesses going to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. My first point is, when God calls you to be a witness, be ready. The followers of Christ only knew that Jesus told them they would be witnesses after receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. They had no idea when or how, or the fact that those who hated them and the news of Jesus Christ would be the ones to start the outbreak of believers. But they were ready. And because they were ready, this news spread and the church grew. We're going to go to Acts chapter 8, and we're going to talk about specifically verses 26 through 40. And it's the story about Philip, who's a disciple who's been spreading the news of Christ everywhere he goes, and usually to really large crowds. He's used to large crowds. I'm not as used to large crowds. But there's this story about Philip, and then he meets this eunuch from Ethiopia. So Philip's on the road. He's headed to continue witnessing to these large crowds after leaving Samaria when an angel of the Lord tells him to switch up his route. You need to go south on the other road, the desert road, the wilderness road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. So it's safe to assume that a road called the desert road or the wilderness road is not super well traveled, and he's probably not going to find really large crowds, right? But without question or argument, Philip started out on that desert road. Be ready to change directions when God tells you. We get excited about where we're at. We get comfortable on the roads that we're traveling. And then God wants us to change directions. Anybody have that happen to them? Mm-hmm. It's so much easier to change when things are rough or going badly. But what about when things are great? Things were great with Philip. He was doing exactly what God called him to do, and he was having fun doing it. But God changed up his direction. So now Philip is on this road, and he meets an Ethiopian eunuch who is an important official in charge of the queen's treasury. Now, it's important to know that in that day and age, Ethiopia was considered the ends of the earth. So once again, what Jesus said is coming true, and they are preaching and witnessing to those at the ends of the earth. Now this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was now sitting in his chariot on his way home reading the book of Isaiah. And it was custom back then that when you're reading, that you read aloud. Okay, and also important to know that this eunuch, it just says that he went to go worship. We don't know what his religious background was. More than likely, because of who he was, he wasn't allowed in the Jewish temple, and he probably wasn't allowed to worship with most of the Gentiles either. So he's really kind of an odd one, right? Not somebody everybody wants to go and approach. But the Spirit talks to Philip. And he tells Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. So Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah, and then asked if he understood what he was reading. See, I always picture what I would do in this part of the story. You have Philip, and he's just walking along the road. He sees the chariot drive by, and by the prompting of the Spirit, he runs up to it, eavesdrops on the man reading Scripture, and then asks a question. I think for most of us, we would like casually stroll up to the chariot, not trying to be like too noticeable, you know, quietly stand there. Or some of us would even be like, okay, Spirit, and we walk so slow that it's, oh, darn, the chariot's too far. I can't catch up. But that wasn't Philip. Philip was ready. See, I see myself and many of us probably relating more to a different type of story. Let's pretend that it's football season, okay? And the Detroit Lions are doing fantastic. It's hard to imagine, I know, but try. So, you're getting really excited. This team that some of you have always loved, some of you just kind of liked, and others really didn't pay attention to until now, are winning game after game, and everyone is taking notice. Now, you overhear others talking about the Lions when you go to Beaky's or you go do your CrossFit workout or whatever, and you decide to go on a walk. You're just walking along this trail, and you see somebody else in Lions gear, right? Got their sweatshirt and hat on. You walk up to him and start talking about the Lions, because that's what you do. When you're excited about a team, you notice other people who are also excited. Well, it's always great to meet another fan. He tells of how he's not super familiar with all of the quarterbacks and the players and stuff, because he's just started following them. So you being the excited and expert fan that you are, you gladly share your thoughts. So obviously that story is fictional, but you can relate, right? I know I've been at the gas station with my Denver Broncos shirt on and people are like, hey, I love that team. Not so much in Michigan, but that's okay. But have you ever been so excited about a sports team that you'll talk to anyone wearing their gear, or someone else will talk to you because you're wearing their gear? especially when your team is the unexpected winner of the season. You can feel the excitement in the air, and everyone wants to be a part of it. Now back to Philip. Philip felt that excitement in the air. And the amazing thing about this excitement, however, or this hope, is that it was and still is in Christ Jesus. When your team wins the Super Bowl, the excitement starts to fade. When Jesus died on the cross, that was just the beginning. When he rose on that third day, the excitement rose as well. And then exploded in the upper room when the Spirit came down on those disciples. Think about that. This is an excitement that shouldn't fade. Because Jesus is still real, he is still alive, and there's no end to that story. Are we just as excited about Jesus in our lives as our favorite sports team? Are we so excited that we want to share that excitement with others, no matter who they are, or what they look like, or where we're at? Be ready for the Spirit to prompt you. Philip didn't wait until the Spirit spoke to him to decide whether or not to listen. He didn't wait for the Spirit to say, okay, you need to go to that chariot and you need to talk to that eunuch. And he didn't stand there going, do I have enough time? Am I going to pass out from the run because I've been walking a long day? I don't even know this guy and he's really odd. He just did it. He had already made the decision the first moment he was filled with the Spirit to do what he was told when he was told. He didn't have to decide from that point on. It was a reaction. He decided when the Spirit came that he would react and he would do. Now, after Philip had asked the eunuch if he understood what he was reading, the eunuch replied, how can I unless someone explains it to me? You see, the eunuch was reading this passage from Isaiah chapter 53, and it reads, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch then asked Philip who this passage is talking about, and that opened the door for Philip to tell him about the hope in Christ Jesus. It allowed him to tell of how Jesus was that lamb who died for our sins so that we may live. And not only did he die for our sins, he died for everybody's sins. He died for the eunuch's sins. He wasn't allowed to go to church. He died for everyone. It didn't matter who you were. Be ready to explain your hope in Christ. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Philip was ready. Philip didn't say to the Ethiopian, you just came from church. How do you not know this? Philip didn't say, well, let's go talk to my pastor or my small group leader or the youth pastor or my friend who's been a Christian like 20 years more than me. And then we can discuss it. Philip was ready. How many of us can honestly say that we are ready? Or even more so, how many of us are not only ready, but we're willing? We're willing to go up to that person that we have never met, or that person that we all have heard of them. They're not the greatest. They really make me uncomfortable when the Spirit prompts you. So now we continue this story. Philip is now in the chariot with the eunuch. He let him ride along, which was nice. And they're riding along the road when they come to some water. Then the eunuch says to Philip, there's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Have you ever done that? Do you just say, okay, let's get baptized right here now? Most of us don't. But the eunuch did. Now here's the response. And if you look in your Bible and try to find verse 37, you're not going to find it between verses 36 and 38. It's clear in the bottom in a little footnote. And if you're looking at YouVersion, it's probably not going to show up at all. But that's because this verse was added later. It was found in later manuscripts, not the original. But it's a very important verse. And this verse says, and this is Philip talking, says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And then the eunuch answers, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Pretty important verse, right? He wants to be baptized, so Philip just asks, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is Lord? Yeah, I do. Okay, then what's stopping you? After the eunuch had responded that he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, he gave orders for the chariot to stop. He and Philip got out. They went to the water. Philip baptized him right then and there. They come out of the water, and this is where the story gets a little freaky. They come out of the water, and Philip disappears. The Spirit took Philip away, and he is not seen again except for 50 miles down the road. Now, I've met some fast runners in my track days, but nobody could do that. Here's the funny part, though. When Philip shows up 50 miles later, you know what he's doing? He's not saying, how did that happen? Yeah. He just keeps preaching to every town he goes to. He's preaching. And the eunuch isn't super scared, as I probably would be. He's rejoicing. He's so excited that he is part of this body of believers through his baptism. He is rejoicing and doesn't even question the fact that Philip just disappeared before him. Be ready to respond, and don't be surprised when God does the impossible. The eunuch was ready to respond and ask to be baptized. He wanted that outward expression that signified he had joined this body of believers. And then when Philip had that crazy cool disappearance, the eunuch didn't freak out. He was just, all right. He went on rejoicing. He wasn't surprised. And you know, I wonder, maybe they weren't so surprised because they were used to seeing miracles. They had just seen Jesus who was dead, and they saw him walking around alive 3 days later. They'd seen him ascend into heaven. So maybe that was just normal for them, was to expect the unexpected. Maybe we need to realize that God still does stuff like that. And it's not as surprising as we think. Maybe we shouldn't be as surprised when he does work a miracle. When he does heal someone of a terrible disease. When he brings somebody who has been in addiction and hardship and just making horrible choice after horrible choice, when he brings them to his feet and they ask for forgiveness. Why are we so surprised when God works? Now, we do have our own baptism celebration in just over a month. How many of you are ready to respond to that haven't before? If you are, there's the sign-up sheet at the welcome table. You can talk to Pastor Terry and respond. Now, maybe that's not the response that the Spirit's telling you to make. Maybe the Spirit is prompting you to respond to a call to ministry. Respond to a call to serve. Maybe it's at the coffee bar or the welcome center or the kids area or the teens or adults. Maybe he's prompting you to a call to talk to that neighbor who hasn't been to church yet. Will you respond to the Spirit prompting you to choose church over sports and other fun activities? Will you respond to accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior for the first time? Thank you. Will you respond to the Spirit's prompting no matter what it is, or when it is, or how uncomfortable it makes you? What's your response going to be? We have learned in the past month how embracing the Holy Spirit is essential for anyone following Jesus. Well, this is also essential for all of us to be ready to respond. If we don't rely on the Spirit's power, how are we to know? How are we to know that we're being prompted? How are we to know that that neighbor that we have not talked to about church before is ready to receive that? They're ready to hear and they're ready to listen. But if you don't listen, how will they know? When God calls you to be a witness, be ready. Be ready to change directions when God tells you to. Be ready for the Spirit to prompt you. Be ready to explain your hope in Christ. Be ready to respond. I'm going to pray for us real quick, and I know that it's early, but I'm a kids pastor, and I usually only have 15 minutes. So, let's pray. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to expect the impossible. Help us to be so excited that we want to tell everyone about our hope in you. Be with us today as we go back to our homes or head off somewhere for the holiday. Help us to be ready no matter how old or young we are, no matter where we are on our spiritual journey. Be with us. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.